Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus was a storyteller, a great storyteller who used vivid words and images to get his message across. A lot of his stories are parables. And in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are 35 parables. They take up a good chunk of those books. It's different with the Gospel of John. It's a series of conversations with people like Nicodemus or the woman at the well. It seems to me quite significant that in the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the Word. And so much of the Gospel is taken up with conversations. But that's an aside. In these parables, Jesus reaches to the hearts of his listeners by giving a story that has a meaning and a hidden meaning. Well, it's not hidden from those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and to understand the point. He reaches the heart of his listeners through imagination with ordinary objects and everyday things. This one that Lawrence has read to us is the parable of the sower, which we know very well. It's the first of seven parables in this chapter of Matthew 13. So we're going to be here in the parables for a little while. So let's look at the setting. Jesus is weary, and it's no wonder. He has been preaching and teaching. He's been healing. He's been exorcising demons. He's given instructions to his disciples, called them apostles and commissioned them to go out and do his work. And so he goes for a bit of alone time down by the lake. But it doesn't last for long. The crowds follow him. And so he gets out into the bay, anchors in a boat, and begins to speak. This story is so familiar to us that we are in danger of turning off and tuning out. So I want us to notice the first word that Jesus used when he gave the interpretation to the disciples. It was, listen. It is the deep listening which silences all of the things that are in our mind, all of our preoccupations and clamoring thoughts. It's a silence that leads to understanding of what Jesus is saying, and it's a silence that eventually leads us to action. Silence and listening, they are both inextricably linked. Jesus' appeal to listen, to really listen, is a challenge to us in our distracted world. And perhaps that's been one of the gifts of lockdown, that we've had time to stop and to pause, to be silent and to listen and to notice. We notice that Jesus is indeed a great storyteller, but perhaps he's not such a great farmer. He seems to have no thought for the preciousness or the cost of the seed, but throws it everywhere, freely. He doesn't discriminate. The pathway, the rocky soil, the weedy, thorny ground, as well as the good soil. He's extravagant and generous, even wasteful. When seed is precious, what sane farmer would throw it so freely that it would fall on places where it was very likely that it would not have a yield? Surely seed is so costly that none of it can be wasted. But Jesus is different. He is the farmer who sows widely and liberally, even wastefully. He is the one who sows generously and extravagantly, even in places he does not expect a great yield. For he knows that most seed will thrive in the good soil, but some, perhaps some seed, will grow and take root in the rocky soil along the pathway or where the weeds are. And for this, the divine sower persists in sowing widely. Everywhere, freely, there is no better image of God's love and hope for us all. There is nowhere that God does not fling the seed of life. God has always been prepared to risk wasting love on those that we deem unworthy or judge to be hopeless cases, in the hope that some of it will take root and bear fruit. God's accounting and ours are poles apart. There is nowhere he does not sow his seed of life and love, whether it's in North Korea or in Washington or right here in New Zealand. Praise God that it is so, because I don't know about you, but for me, I would not be here unless God had been lavish with his seed of life. The seed of life rescues us from sin and from death, as we read about in our reading from Romans this morning. This lavish, extravagant, generous God is who God is. And it's who we're called to be, because we're called to be like him. Generous, liberal, sowing seeds in places where we know they're going to grow, but also in places where it's very unlikely that they will grow. Because love is always undeserved, and love sows freely. We trust that in the end the seed will produce a harvest, and even when it appears there's little chance of it, and it appears that the soil is worthless. It doesn't matter whether it's a stony path, rocky ground, or thorny prickles. We are called to sow the seed of the kingdom of God indiscriminately, wildly, prolifically, as someone has said, tossing out bouquets of God's love everywhere. So much for the sower, because although this could be called the parable of the sower, it could also be called the parable of the seed and the parable of the soils. What about the seed? The seed is the word we read in our Bibles. It's the word of God that we hear each Sunday. It's the focus of today's psalm. It's the limitless love of God. It's the truth of Scripture read to us to bring life. It's the promises of God rooted in his faithfulness. It is seed bursting with life, ready to flourish wherever it is planted. And what about the parable of the soil? Jesus speaks about four kinds of soil. And we find them, as I looked at it quite deeply, we find these different kinds of soils in the people that Jesus spoke to in his day, those listeners who were among them. We have the hard and barren pathway where the birds snatch the seed away. Perhaps this is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, whose hearts were hardened and barren through self-righteousness. And I find that not only do I find the soil in me and us as individuals, but we also find it corporately. It has an application for us as a group, as it did for the Pharisees as a group. We think about it as a church community. Where have we perhaps become hardened? Where have we forgotten the generosity of the good news and said, that is too hard, or we are too small? Or, we tried that once before and it didn't work. Or, we've always done it this way. Perhaps this is another gift of lockdown, that we've been ready to consider and implement new things and take the risk of trying new things. Then some receive the word with joy, but the soil of their heart is too rocky and shallow. It never develops the roots that it needs to survive hard times, the times when faith might cost us more than I believe. It's not too hard to find people who've started well in their life with Jesus, and then when it becomes difficult, they walk away. It's likely that we've been tempted to do it ourselves. I know that I have. And actually, Jesus' disciples fell into this category too. They failed, deserted, and all but abandoned their call when it became difficult. To be a follower of Jesus is a joyful thing, but it is also a costly one. What about the seed sown among thorns and weeds? The soil may be soft and moist, but the seed hardly stands a chance. If we are preoccupied with success or wealth or status or power, it very quickly chokes the seed and kills it. The rich young ruler is a spectacular example of this. The problem was not that he owned great wealth. The problem was that it owned him. As Christ's followers, we are called to walk in a humility that keeps us real and grounded. I'm interested to note that the word humility comes from the root word humus, which gives us earth and also gives us the word human. Here, there is no room for pride. And then, of course, there is the good soil, those who hear the word and understand it, who take it on board, who live by it and flourish. The Jewish concept of learning was not to gather information and just have knowledge. The Jewish concept of learning was a holistic thing that meant when you heard, you did. There was action, there was commitment, there was involvement that became a part of the learning and was intrinsic and inherent with the learning. Those who hear the word, understand it, take it on board, who live by it and flourish, the good soil. So where does this bring us today? If I'm honest, and when I look within myself, I have to confess that within me there are the four different kinds of soil. There is the hardness and the judgmentalism of the Pharisee. There is the shallowness of the disciples at this point in their lives. There is the divided heart of the rich young ruler. And yes, there is some good soil too, but not enough. If this is true for you too, can I invite you to cultivate that rich soil within your life, the fruitful soil, to partner with God, the Creator, with Jesus, the sower, and the Word, the seed, and the Holy Spirit, who breathes life and growth into everyone and everything, to bring us fruitful lives for ourselves, for our community, for the kingdom, for the world. Amen. May it be so.